Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Back in 1961, the late U.S. President John F. Kennedy talked to the United Nations. He addressed the Assembly, and they were very much concerned with the state of the world at that time. Here is some of what President Kennedy said.
For in the development of this organization rests the only true alternative to war, and war appeals no longer as a rational alternative. Unconditional war can no longer lead to unconditional victory. It can no longer serve to settle disputes. It can no longer concern the great powers alone. For a nuclear disaster spread by winds and water and fear could well engulf the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the committed and the uncommitted alike. Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind.
As you heard in that clip there from President Kennedy, he was dealing with the realities of the day. There was a real threat of nuclear annihilation. And of course, there still is today. President Kennedy went on to say that, quote, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. The mere existence of modern weapons, 10 million times more powerful than any that the world has ever seen, and only minutes away from any target on Earth, is a source of horror. Together, said President Kennedy, we shall save our planet, or together we shall perish in its flames. Very true words. The problems on this Earth today are so severe that if they're not solved, ultimately they do end in the destruction of mankind. They end with the Earth not being habitable. In that 1961 UN speech, President Kennedy was dealing with the realities of the day. Dealing with the realities. We have to deal with realities, and sometimes those are hard to look at. He was dealing with the imminent threat of nuclear destruction. And of course, that threat has not gone away. You and I have both grown up in the time where the threat of nuclear destruction is ever present. Now, maybe we don't think about it daily, but the threat is out there and it is growing. And that's just one of the issues confronting mankind. How much more seriously should we think about the threats that are out there today? Especially when we think about nuclear annihilation because of the developments of even more and more weapons. Or, I guess, we could play the ostrich. You know, the old ostrich that likes to stick its head in the sand and not pay attention to danger and just get into our day-to-day lives and forget about the threats that are out there. That's more comfortable for a while, but it's not dealing with the reality of the world in which we live. I mean, of course, we all hope the weapons of mass destruction are never used. But history shows us that man has not developed a weapon that he hasn't used, if it's been effective. Now, there are enough nuclear bombs stockpiled to wipe out the world's population many times over, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan warned in 2000 that nuclear war remains a very real and very terrifying possibility. So when the world leaders get together at different meetings, they do have to discuss these things. They know that nuclear weapons are a threat. Of course, in our present moment, we do talk a lot about North Korea, Iran, Russia, other nations that have nuclear weapons, and there are quite a few around the world. The nuclear arms race continues, even though there's talk of scaling back or dearming and all of that. The arms race does continue. A recent example would be what the Russians call the Satan II missile, which we've mentioned before. Satan 2, which Putin claimed is already deployed in some missile silos, is a replacement for the 1970s-era Satan ICBM. The new version is slated to reach full service in 50 silos around 2020, according to the Center for Strategic and International Studies. One Satan II ICBM could pack as much as 8 megatons of TNT equivalent explosive power. 8 megatons. That's more than 400 times as strong as either bomb the U.S. dropped on Japan in 1945, both of which combined led to roughly 150,000 casualties. And there's, of course, a lot of history out there in books and documentaries about those bombs that were dropped and the destruction that they caused in World War II. And yet today we're talking about one Satan II ICBM packing as much power as 400 times what those bombs could do. And so you can scale up the casualty count and know we're dealing with extremely dangerous times. The technology used to deliver multiple warheads to different targets is called a multiple independently targetable reentry vehicle, or MIRV, which is a little easier to say. Such devices deploy their warheads after reaching speeds that can exceed 15,000 miles per hour. It really is amazing what the human mind can come up with, but oftentimes it's used for evil purposes. Depending on where the warhead is deployed in space and how it maneuvers, each one can strike targets hundreds of miles apart. Just amazing. Nuclear warfare is only one of the many ways that could bring about the total destruction of mankind. These are the realities of our world today. Some nations are now producing new superweapons, which may be even deadlier than nuclear bombs. A number of nations, including the U.S. and Russia, already have a chemical and biological warfare potential. And that's just devastating, just brutal what happens to people. We've seen a small-scale example of it in Syria.
Rescue services and medics say at least 70 people have died in Syria after a suspected gas attack in eastern Ghouta. This shocking footage released on social media appears to show young children being treated after the suspected chemical attack.
There's lots of footage out there of those gas attacks and what it does to people. And then there are other threats as well. Of course, just polluted food and the diseases that come from that here in the United States and, of course, other places around this earth. Water and air are polluted and affecting many people. And then the population is expanding. Cities around the world are even more crowded, and if you live in a big city, you know that firsthand, day-to-day experience, or just traveling through. Infrastructure is strained. Resources such as energy and water are increasingly scarce. Sometimes they're even rationed. We've had droughts here over the last few years in the South and in other areas of the nation. And then, of course, globally, that's always an issue in different places. And today, many are born into the world lacking the necessary provisions to survive. They don't have a very good life expectancy in many parts of the world. Amazingly, every year, nearly 11 million children, that's about 30,000 a day, die before they are 5 years old, mostly from famine and disease. And that's over 20 children, not even old enough to go to school, who die an awful death every single minute of every single day. So you can think about that as we discuss some of these problems. People are facing these trials right now and these tests and difficulties right now. So what are we to make of our situation on this earth? What are the solutions to these problems? Just looking at the problems in and of themselves is pretty disheartening and pretty discouraging. And if that was our only option to just look at them, I can understand why people would want to just put their head in the sand and not worry all the time. But there are solutions to these problems, and that's why they have to be looked at. We're not looking at the problems just to bring up something negative, but it's because there are solutions to these problems, and the Bible gives us those solutions. The Bible talked about what we could expect this world and the problems of this world to be like in our time today. Some people are trying the best they know how to make a positive impact. Of course, a lot of people want to save the environment in some way. But how? Still others are gazing toward the heavens and thinking about colonizing the moon or Mars. But that's just a pipe dream. The technology isn't there to do that. And even so, Mars doesn't look all that great. Neither does the moon. We have an Earth, a beautiful Earth that God created and put mankind on. And yet there's so many problems on this Earth today. The ultimate solution to all the problems we face today is given in your Bible. And, of course, we have to believe that. Notice the very encouraging news. We've talked about some negative news, but notice the encouraging news here in Isaiah 40. And if you listen to this program regularly, you know we go to a few scriptures. And so if you do have a Bible with you, I'd love for you to get it out and look at these scriptures with me. And if not, maybe you can take note of them and look at them later and see what God says about the different subjects we're discussing. Isaiah 40 in verse 10, it says, "Behold, the eternal God will come with strong hand." When Christ returns, he's not coming this time as a baby. He's coming as the resurrected and the glorified Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, it says. His reward is with him, and his work before him. Christ is coming back and bringing a reward for those that are serving him today and supporting his work today. Very exciting. And he's coming with a strong arm. He is coming to save mankind. If he didn't return, mankind's problems would overcome us. They would destroy us. But we can have hope, great hope, because Christ is returning to save us from these problems. And that is the only solution. So what we see Isaiah saying here is that God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ to this earth to rule it, and Christ will rule with the government of God. That's how he's going to rule, and that's going to bring about peace, abundant well-being, and happiness, joy, lasting abundance, lasting happiness for all of mankind. I mean, that's what we all want, and the way to get there is the government of God and the rule of Jesus Christ. Christ came for the first time about 2,000 years ago, and he was the greatest newscaster the world has ever seen. Don't know if you've thought about him in that way, but he prophesied. He prophesied all those years ago about what you and I would be facing in this world today. Notice this and see if Christ was accurate. You can judge this one and see what you think. Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. And I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. It gives a little clearer rendition of the scripture. But it says, "For that will be a time." Now he's talking about our time today. "For that will be a time of greater horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed." That's what Christ said. Now, some of the problems that we discussed earlier in the program fit exactly in with what he's talking about. Now, these horrors haven't fully exploded on the world scene yet, but we can see them waiting. We can see the Russian missiles sitting in the silos, or they will be shortly. And we can see gas attacks in Syria, and we can see these problems. They haven't fully developed and overtaken the world yet, but we see them building. And we have to pay attention to them. And Christ said, it's going to expand and grow and get worse, these problems, until Christ stops it. That's what Christ said. Oftentimes people talk a lot about Christ and, you know, what would Christ do, or how would Christ, you know, handle things and so forth. Well, but we have to look at what he said. And he did say that unless he came to stop things, all mankind would be destroyed. And it would get close to that time period. That's not something that people want to think about, but that's what Christ said. And so that's what we have to pay attention to. So think about what he's saying there. I mean, is Christ right? Is the Bible that you have, is that the most up-to-date book there is? A lot of people don't think so, but it is. Do you see any other solution to the problems that we have? I mean, can you imagine that we'll ever look back and say, you know, remember when we had all those wars and nuclear weapons, but then we finally all got together and we decided we'd just all get along, we'd get rid of all the weapons, clean the environment, usher in this great era of peace. You know, I'm really glad that we got together and we finally did that. There are a lot of sincere people that want to do that, but people just don't get along. Even in the United States, we don't get along with each other. Political division between male and female, division between the races. And that's just within the United States. You look at other, you know, nations and how they try to get along with other nations, and it's all a matter of competition. You know, the U.S. and Russia and China and Europe, and you throw them all in there. People don't get along. They don't agree. Who would we look to for the answers? I mean, we would look to people that consider themselves Christians. Would they have the answer? Would all the Muslims come and do what the Christians think? Or do the Muslims have the answer? And are all the Christians going to go and do what the Muslims think? Or the atheists? Or the Hindus? Or you name it. I mean, there's so many different flavors of everything out there. People cannot agree. It's going to take strong government from somewhere. And thankfully, it's going to be from God's government, because that government works for everybody's benefit. If it's a strong government of man, in most cases, it's a dictatorship. So thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. We can trust in God's word here that Christ will return. He is going to use God's government to usher in peace and prosperity like we've never seen before. And we all want that. We all want to believe in that, but we also have to believe what happens before that, what Christ said, that it's going to get quite bad and that man's problems are going to really get to the point where if it wasn't stopped, it would destroy all humanity. Jesus taught that there is a timetable of prophecy, that certain specific events must occur in the months and years ahead before he returns to rescue humanity from annihilation. So we can begin to understand these prophecies, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. Let's learn exactly what the world's greatest newscaster foretold for this end time generation. What does God's word say about what would befall us in these days? When we come back, we'll look at what God's word forecasted would occur in our day today. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for being with us today. In the first half of today's program, we were talking about the stark reality of our world today, some of the very severe problems that are not all that comfortable to talk about or to think about, but they're a reality. And these are mounting problems, problems that mankind is at a loss to solve. They've tried the United Nations and continue to try that and other ways of solving problems, and yet we have not been able to solve the problems yet, and they're growing. So what does God's word prophesy about our time today? And will we believe him? You know, the prophecies are there. It's a matter of if we're going to believe him. Most people don't believe God, and they don't believe in his word. Education today, of course, rejects a creator God. They embrace the theory of evolution. And when people embrace the theory of evolution, they don't need a God. It gets rid of God, and therefore, they can do what's right in their own eyes, at least as far as they think. Although sin is still sin and there's still repercussions for it. And there are great benefits and blessings that come from keeping God's law. Now, scholars, even those that are Bible scholars, They view the Bible in most cases as a really great piece of literature with historical value. It's inspiring. But they say it has a lot of discrepancies, contradictions, and was written by men that were caught up in the history of their times. Maybe they embellished a little bit. But that's what man thinks. That's not the truth of God. We do live in a faithless generation. I mean, Christ did wonder when he returned, would he find faith on the earth? Faith means believing what God said. We don't see a lot of faith on this earth today. But you can have faith in God and his word. And that's what we need to have faith in, not, you know, what a person might say, but what God's word says. And that's what we're endeavoring to do here, is look at the word of God. And now, of course, there are many false prophets today, and there have been over the years. As Christ prophesied, there would be. But God's revealed prophecy is true, and it's being fulfilled. There's people that'll come out, it's even happened recently, and they'll make a prediction and say, you know, the world's going to end or whatever their thinking on it is, and they'll give a certain date, and then, of course, nothing happens. And all that does is it just makes people think that God's prophecies are foolishness or a joke. But the person saying that doesn't understand God's word, the person making the prediction. They don't understand God's word. They're not being used by God to show people what's going to come from God's word. They're just having their own ideas. But it serves to make the Bible seem like something that you can't believe in. But they're not looking at the Bible, not accurately. So you have to be aware of those types of sensational news stories that come out from time to time, because it gives people a chance to scoff at God. Some people do scoff at Bible prophecy. Most do, actually. But the thing that's ironic about that is scoffing at biblical prophecy actually fulfills Bible prophecy. Did you ever think of that? You can see this in 2 Peter 3, if you have a Bible and you'd like to turn over there and take a look at that. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4, the fact that people are scoffing at God's word doesn't catch God by surprise. He knew that it would happen. He prophesied that it would happen through the Apostle Peter here. It says, knowing this first, this is 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, that means mockers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Have you seen that attitude out there? Towards certainly God's word, but just in general, I mean, do we live in a time where there's a lot of mockers, a lot of scoffers? You can probably think of plenty of TV programs that are out there where that's all they do is they mock people, they scoff. They don't tell you the truth, they just mock. They have an attitude of mockery and scoffing. That's a sign that we're in the last days. Now, people have always, you know, had that proclivity, I guess, to mock and to scoff at times. But this is a rampant thing in society today. And with television, with the internet, that attitude of mocking and scoffing, I mean, it's everywhere. It permeates everything. And so if you can think of any one of these sort of late night talk shows, can you imagine bringing up Bible prophecy on a show like that? What would they do? They'd mock it. Right? They'd scoff at it because that's the spirit of the age. And there is even an attitude that some of God's own people, the Laodiceans, who have fallen away from God and supporting his work, they can get into that attitude as well of thinking that, as Peter says here, you know, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, you know, I've heard, you know, over the years that there would these prophecies be fulfilled, and well, here it is, you know, 15 years later, and it didn't happen. Well, but prophecy is not according to our timetable. It's according to God's timetable. And how long is 15, 20, 30, 40 years? How long is that? It's not very long at all. So it's an attitude that God prophesied would be here in this time. And it is a sign. It is a sign that we are in the last days when you see mockers and scoffers. I mean, there's a difference between somebody looking at a prophecy and saying, you know, well, let's really investigate that and let's look at God's word and see if this squares up to God's word. That's great. But the attitude of mocking and scoffing, now that's not an attitude of wanting to learn, but just wanting to belittle. So God warned about this, and he also warned about it in Ezekiel 12. This is the last passage we'll look at for today, and but really, really quite a interesting section of the Bible, and it does apply for us today as we'll look at. Ezekiel 12, and we'll look at verse 21 through 23 to start. It says, "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision fails?" So God is saying, what is that that you guys say? That these prophecies that I've given, they fail? That they're not accurate? Is that what you say? Is that the attitude? Verse 23, he says, "Tell them, therefore, thus says the Eternal God, I will make this proverb to cease." So in other words, those things that you're saying about these prophecies never come true, I'm going to make that stop. God says that. And then he says, "And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision." So what God prophesied is coming to pass on his timetable, and we're getting very close to that time right now. God knows our attitudes, and he hears our words. I mean, he listened to what the people were saying. Oh, is that what the proverb in Israel, is that what people say? He listens to it today. You know, oh, so there's a lot of scoffing today. Is that right? There's a lot of mocking today. Is that right? I mean, God hears it, and he understands that that's what's happening. And so we have to really think about our words, our attitudes. I mean, do we think that things will just go on as they always have? Life will just always be like we've known it to be? I mean, we've been very blessed here in the West, in the United States. It's because of God's blessings. But think about other nations of this earth. Think about Syria. I mean, how much have their lives changed in the last decade? Things have been completely flipped upside down for them. I mean, it's been a volatile region, I suppose. But still, so many people have been killed, families destroyed, people displaced, cities leveled. Things change. And yet, it's easy to think things will just always go on as they have. Nothing will change. But God's words are coming to pass. We are very blessed. But again, God says if we don't obey him, those blessings do cease. We can't think that this prophecy of Ezekiel 12 is ancient history. It is for us today. It'd be easy to read this and think, well, that was years ago. So God's not talking to us today. But you have to look at some of the history here. God gave Ezekiel this message to be delivered to Israel. And understand who modern Israel is, right? United States, Britain, Judah, the modern nation of Israel in the Middle East, and other nations. And again, get the United States and Britain in prophecy if you haven't looked at that, or if you haven't looked at it in a while. But God gave Ezekiel a message to be delivered to Israel, a message about a future captivity. Ezekiel was to warn Israel, you're going to have a captivity, you're going to have problems. But Israel had already gone into its first captivity 120 years before Ezekiel received this prophecy. So that doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense. You know, why would he be telling Israel they were going to go into captivity when they already had gone into captivity 120 years earlier? Well, it's because it wasn't for them at that time. It's for us today. Ezekiel's captors would not even allow him to go to Israel to deliver that message. He didn't even have a chance to go tell them. But he's telling us we can read it today. God knew, even before he gave him the prophecy, that Ezekiel would not be able to go to Israel. So plainly, God did not expect the message to be delivered then and there. So you can look more into that history if you would like to. But that's one of the great proofs that it's for our day. Because it wasn't even delivered back then. So why bother with it? Well, because it's for our day today. Ezekiel wrote the message down, and it, of course, has been preserved. Today, that message is in the hands of people of this work, the Philadelphia Church of God, who people are working to send that message out. And you hear that message on the Key of David program, in the Trumpet magazine, at thetrumpet.com, and, of course, on KPCG. It's being proclaimed today. So what is the prophecy that modern Israel doesn't want to believe today? You know, here God is saying, look, there's this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, you have today, saying, you know, the days they're prolonged, the vision fails. You know, what is it that people don't want to hear? If it was a prophecy saying there's going to be great blessings and great rewards, I'm sure people would love to talk about it. But notice here in Ezekiel 12 and verse 20, this is the prophecy. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Eternal. So that's the prophecy. We have big cities, lots of people, you know, very modern. Could they ever become desolate? Well, they did in Syria. You can see the footage of it today. Some of those cities were probably fairly decent. They, you know, weren't as big as some of the ones over here in the West, but still, you see them today and there's nothing there. They're desolate. It happens. It happened in World War II. Major cities. That's what God has prophesied because of breaking his law. And now, of course, some people do believe in God's prophecies on a certain level, but they say, well, they won't occur for many years. That's way, way down the road. I don't need to worry about it right now. Well, look at verse 27 here. Son of man, it says, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days to come. And he prophesies of the times that are far off. This was their attitude. Therefore, verse 28, say unto them, thus says the Eternal God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word that I have spoken shall be done, says the Eternal God. Throughout the Bible, we find that God has always given people ample opportunity to repent, to quit sinning, before sending punishment for breaking his law. And of course, his law defines a way of life that leads to peace and to solving the problems that we see on this earth that we talked about. People have time to repent. God's not wanting to have to punish. He wants people to take the warning and to make changes, which we have an opportunity to do. But at some point, the prophecies are fulfilled on God's timetable. And time after time, God sent his prophets to warn the nations of impending punishments for their disobedience. And if you look at the history, in nearly every case, the warnings fell on deaf ears. We don't want to have deaf ears when it comes to God's word, and we don't want to be faithless when it comes to the prophecies of God. That's a personal choice. We can look into God's word, and hopefully that's something that everyone will do. Next time, we're going to continue to look at what God has prophesied for our time today. There's a lot to look at, and we'll talk about that more on future programs. Thanks for joining us today here on Trumpet Radio. Until next time, let's all endeavor to live more perfectly by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.